When these two prophets were prophesying, everybody was alert. Now, I want to prophesy now. We see anybody sleep, just no say na which it be. Let's pick a text before we sit down from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4.
And grieve not.
Wait, lay reader. May they get ready. You know, sir, I will quote that scripture before. Are you AI? Artificial intelligence. Before you talk, Google, don't answer. Are we there now? Fire on.
And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption.
Again.
And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption.
And may the Lord grant us understanding of these scriptures in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Please be seated. And I want to title this exhortation, The Abuse of Grace. The Abuse of Grace. When you say you are, somebody is abusive, you are talking, saying that the person is extremely offensive, or insultive, or is tormenting. Actions that cause pain on someone is called abuse. So God can be abused. Grace can be abused. Remember that the Bible tells us in Ephesians 2, let me just give you that scripture for reference because there are common scriptures here. It's an exhortation. If you read it from verse 8 to 10, the emphasis there is that our salvation, we are saved by grace, not our works. Unmerited favor. Titus, let's read that of Titus chapter 3, verse 3 to verse 7. I like the way Titus put it.
For we ourselves also, we are sometimes foolish.
We are very foolish because we are bowing down to images, worshiping the creature instead of the creator. That's foolishness.
Disobedient, deceived, saving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, towards man
that
appeared.
That is grace.
Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us.
You see?
By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Christ Jesus our Savior. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life.
Now, listen very well. If we are saved by grace and not of works, then we need to understand how this grace works. What is even grace? So that we can appreciate the grace. Grace is the means by which God saved man. Yes. And I want you to note that this grace, the sealing, the complete work of grace in our life is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is the sealing of grace. The complete works of redemption is sealed by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Remember, it brings you into the body of Christ. It brings you into the family of God. It gives you the spirit of sonship. then we can call him our Father. He is not your Father until his Spirit is in you. He's not your Father because you say it. He's your Father because his Spirit is in you. You cannot claim any man to be your Father until his blood is in you. The DNA match. Hallelujah. And when I say grace can be abused, one of the ways the Bible put it is when you turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is a sensual lifestyle where you just live a life to satisfy or gratify your flesh. That it includes fornication and all works of the flesh. When you yield yourself to living a sensual lifestyle, you are guilty of the sin of lasciviousness, and it is an abuse of grace. Apostle Paul, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 and verse 21, he made a statement there. He said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. Grace can be frustrated through the type of life that we live. And a perfect example, I have two or three examples for us to understand how grace can be frustrated or how grace can be abused. And the first example is the first family of God on earth here after the fall. Abraham and his seed, Israel. He said they are the only family he has on earth. He said they are the only inheritance he had on earth. That is how he described Israel. Israel were special people, and they are still special people because of God's covenant with Abraham, sealed with the ordinance of the circumcision. And Israel, the relationship between Israel and God and their estate will help us to understand how children of God easily abuse grace. And the Lord Jesus Christ put it in a parable of the householder. Let's look at that parable very carefully as we read it from Matthew 21, from verse 33 to verse 36.
Yeah, another parable.
Listen very well.
There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and
now
edged it.
That householder is Almighty God himself. Yes?
Which planted a vineyard and edged it round about, and digged a winepress in it, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And when the time of the food drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandman, that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants, and beat one, and killed another one, and stole another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son.
But what did they do?
But when the husbandman saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and let us seize on his inheritance.
That is the story of Israel. From nowhere, they did not deserve it. God just decided to pick a man, Abraham, and enter the covenant with him. And it is the covenant Israel was enjoying. Nothing makes them more special than any family on earth, any nation on earth, other than grace. They are just like any other nation on earth, but God decided this one will be my own. Not because they deserved it. Not because they were the best. Not because they were seeking God. Even Abraham was not seeking God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All. But God decided, I will favor somebody. And sometimes, I'll just sit down and look at God's blessings around me. When I compare myself with my peers, those I started ministry with, those that started before me in this entire message, and when I see how useless I have been, how the nonsense lifestyle I was living, how he found me and brought me. I compare myself with some of my peers that would do dry fasting. I know a pastor that would, when he say you want to fast, he 7 days, no food, no water. Now that time it starts. And where is he today? It's one crisis or the other. One crisis or the other he has faced. He even had to come here for deliverance. And the church, and I'm not sure, is even existing, because the last time I knew, there were about 10 members that were left. And he started it before this ministry started. And sometimes when I look at myself and all the statement I make is, I say, God has decided that he will bless a human being. And he look at me and pick me and say, Moses Alu, I will bless you. And what I normally use, and why I reflect on it, is I use it back to God. I don't pray, I don't do anything before you choose me to bless me. The thing where you see, where make you choose me, let it be the reason for you to keep me with you. He loves me. I cannot tell why, but that is the truth. There is none of us that deserves salvation. That is why he says it's not by works. If it is by works, Buddhists, Hindus will be the first in heaven. If it is by works, Muslims, 5 times in a day, they will be in heaven before you. But grace found me. Grace found me. Hey! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And despite all that God has revealed to Israel, all that God has revealed himself, he fought battles for them. He took them through the wilderness from bondage in Egypt. Grace found them. Mercy found them. Brought them out. Parted the Red Sea. Destroyed the army of Pharaoh. Destroyed Israel, Egypt. No arms. No food. In the wilderness. No water. Dry land. Water will come out in a rock. Pillar of fire in the night. Nepa from heaven. Hey! In the city where the lamb is the light. They had a foretaste of it in the wilderness. Not paying NEPA bills, electricity bills, not paying water utility bills. And in the night, in the afternoon, it will bring a cloud so that the sun will not smite them by day. They were not into any form of economic activities. Yet they did not lack food. Manna was coming from above. Hey, hey. Praise the Lord. He was fighting for them. They had no weapons. They had no trained armies. They were slaves. No trained armies. How much more can somebody enjoy grace? But nations were being destroyed before them. Fear of every nation they were passing through. You touch them, you are destroyed. But despite that, after he kept them in their promised land, where he kept them, that is why he said, travel. Let's read that verse 33 again. The husbandman.
Yeah, another parable.
Yes.
There was a certain household which planted a vineyard. And edged it round about and dig the winepress in it, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might
receive. He handed the vineyard to who? Husband. To husbandmen. These husbandmen are the kings that watch over Israel, and they were the priests. The religious leaders among the Jews. When he decided to go rest for a while, preparing for the Messiah to come. And what will happen? Amen. He decided to send his servants that they might receive the fruit of this grace he gave them. What happened? Hallelujah. What did they find?
And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another.
Who are these servants he sent? The prophets. The prophets. See what they did to Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all the rest. If you see what these prophets, what they went through in the hand of these Jews. Before you know what, by the time Christ will come, it was completely a different set of people he will meet. And so Jesus Christ himself made it again to make us understand what was going on, that these people, who they really are, in Matthew 23, Matthew 23 from verse 31.
Wherefore, ye be witnesses unto yourselves, that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets.
Ahead.
Fill ye up then the
who is he talking to? The Pharisees and the Sadducees. Read that verse 31 again.
Wherefore, ye be witnesses unto yourselves, that ye are the children of them
which killed the prophets. Uh-huh.
Fill ye up then the measure
of
your
fathers. Because it's the same spirit that was in them that is in you. Oh yeah, continue now.
Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers.
See how he described them.
How can ye escape the damnation of hell?
Uh-huh.
Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify.
Uh-huh.
And some of
and
them
who are these? He said he will send to them. Who are these? It's the apostles and the believers that will come under grace, the new covenant. Go ahead.
And some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from
city to
city.
Were they not taking their disciples in the synagogues and beating them? Maltreating them. Go ahead.
That upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth.
Uh-huh.
From the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation.
You see, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And you will only understand the impact of what the Lord Jesus is saying if you take a look at the story of Israel and their relationship with God. So that you'll understand what I mean by the abuse of grace. The same thing with the church today. The husbandman, because we know the story of the Good Samaritan. The story of the Good Samaritan is the story of redemption. The husbandman is the innkeeper. The husbandman, amen, in this case about the church, he said, let your heart not be troubled. In my father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, and we're waiting for him to come back for us. If it were not so, I would tell you. And we are waiting for him to come back for us. That is the rapture we are waiting for. But before then, he committed the church to husbandmen. Who are these husbandmen? They are the fivefold ministry. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, what did he give it for? He gave some
apostles,
and some
prophets,
and some
evangelists,
and some
pastors, and some teachers.
For what?
For the perfecting of the saints.
Ahem.
For the work of the ministry.
Ahem.
For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man.
That is the ministry of the fivefold. The church of Jesus Christ is handed over to the fivefold ministry, the leadership offices. I am among the husbandmen. I am a pastor. Adeboye is a pastor. Every head of a church, Pope is a pastor. Apostle Suleiman is a pastor. Lazarus Omoka is a pastor. Husbandmen. We are husbandmen. All leaders of gatherings called churches are husbandmen that Christ handed over the believers to us to watch over till he come. But why is Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20 describing another group as grievous wolves? Verse 28, 29, 30.
Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers.
It's the Holy Ghost that has made us overseers. I am the overseer of this church. Take it to do what?
To feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. For I know this.
To feed who?
The church of God.
Who owns the church?
God.
Jesus Christ himself. We are purchased possession. Therefore, this is not Pastor Moses Alu's church. Any pastor that says this is my church, we must look at the context with which he's saying. If he's saying this is the church I am pastoring, if that is what he means, that's good. But if he say you personalize it. But now watch, please, the next verse.
For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you.
Now take note.
Not sparing
Wait.
The flock.
Take note. He said, grieve not the Holy Ghost, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Now, he said, after he is gone, he said, grievous wolves, that is, those who will come and undertake activities that will grieve the Holy Ghost. They will come among you and do what? They will not spare the flock.
Not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise.
They will arise and do what?
Speaking perverse things.
Perverse things.
To draw away disciples after them.
Perverse, perverse things. Then you'll understand Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. Galatians chapter 1
I
verse 6.
I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another.
Listen.
But there be some that trouble you. And would pervert the gospel
they
of Christ.
They pervert the gospel of Christ. Who are they? They are preachers. They are overseers. Pharisees and Sadducees. Under grace. Grievous wolves. They are a type of the friends of Samson. In Judges chapter 14, we know the story. That Samson went to the land of Philistine, to the Philistine, among the Philistines, to pick a wife for himself. And after he paid the bride price and did everything, he went to prepare his home to come back. That is the story of salvation. But before he came back, his friend, amen, took over the wife. If you read it, you will see it there. He took over his wife, best man. Best man. Sydney, you never marry. Be careful who you choose as your best man. You know, you collect your wife. It will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It took over Samson's wife. And it grieved him. And you know, you saw what it did to the Philistines. It finished them. The jawbone of an ass killed 1,000 of them. That is what is coming upon this world. And people don't know it. It's true. These same overseers have become lords over God's heritage. That's what Peter was warning in 1 Peter chapter 5. Read it from verse 1.
The elders which are among you are exhort.
Elders. The elders are the fivefold ministry in the context there.
Who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. And also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for fieldy looker, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage.
Lords over God's
heritage.
But being what?
Examples to
read
the
on.
And when the chief shepherd shall appear,
when he will appear,
ye shall receive a crown
that
of glory.
That is what we are working for.
That fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto
okay.
the elder.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And if you don't understand this scripture, let me make you understand it. To be a lord over God's heritage, we are servants watching over the children of our master. Should I say anything further? You know the church. Am I going to tell you what you don't know? Don't you see mommy and daddy? A subtle way of becoming lords. Whatever the Bible says, they have brought the people up to take the word of their pastor above what the Bible says. That is why you see them have that throne they set up in the altar. The throne of a king and a queen. They have taken over the church of Jesus Christ. Whose picture do you see in the signboard of the church? Is it the picture of the master or the servant? If you don't, you say, I should tell you. Is this something you don't know? People worship the servant instead of the master, because the servant has taken over the wife of the Lord Jesus Christ. These people, the Bible called them enemies of the cross in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, 18, and 19.
Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which work so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross,
and their end is coming.
Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things.
They have all become abusers of grace also through their teachings. How can a preacher tell you, just open your mouth and say, I believe Jesus, you are born again. You are born again. So easy. You are born again. Instead of the Holy Ghost, God himself to confirm your salvation through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, churches are confirming you. Have you been confirmed? If you have not been confirmed, you cannot take communion. Teaching for doctrines, the commandment of men. They have completely taken over the church of Jesus Christ. This Satan. And they are now at war against the master. How can a preacher of salvation, of the gospel of salvation, teach that water baptism is not needed? And you know what? If we don't hammer this here, there are members of this church that will believe that nonsense. A brother came to me with the Bible during a Friday night. He's one of the teachers in the children's church. I started saying, we have to do something for them to come here and be listening to someone. He has had some of these funny teachings and was actually trying to let me know that you sure that he's confused. So he was being humble over it, but I knew he believed what he has heard somewhere. It took me time because I knew he was gone. If I don't do anything, he will leave this church and follow that error. I am opening the Bible to show a commandment of the Lord. Go and preach the gospel to all nations. He that believes and is baptized. He's twisting it with grammar. After much argument, this was how the Holy Ghost made me to settle it. I said, I took him to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes, let's read it.
Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter.
That is the conclusion of the whole matter.
Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man.
This is the verse I'm looking for. What is the conclusion of the matter?
Fear God and keep his commandments.
What is the conclusion of the matter?
Fear God and keep his commandments.
After he read it, I said, go ye into the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be done. I said, is it a commandment? He said, yes. I said, that is the conclusion of the matter. Then he himself said, it's true. This is the conclusion of the matter. He said, go into the world and preach the gospel. It's a commandment. How do you want to explain that? Grievous wolves that crept in among us and speaking perverse things. They are the ones Apostle Paul warned in the first four verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 11.
Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly. And indeed, bear with me.
Yes.
For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy.
Yes.
For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity
that is in Christ. Watch verse 4.
For if he that cometh preacheth another
Jesus.
Is preaching
another Jesus.
Whom we have not preached. Or if ye receive another spirit, which ye
there is another
received,
spirit
or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him.
Now listen, you know, one thing is this. Error attracts crowd. Do you see what the world is interested in? What is appealing to the world is always against righteousness. Be careful. The first church that went in error emanated from Rome. They are still the biggest, largest denomination. Over 1 billion followers around the world. Pretty what? Idolatry with Jesus' name on top. Crowd following them. Clearly, the Bible forbids a woman to be a pastor. It is thus said the Lord. But women today are having ministries and crowd are going there. If you have it in any form, including SSS something, SF.
SFI. SFI.
SFI. Sisters Fellowship International. I And there are sisters in this church that belong there. I know some of you. Have you called your name now, sir? Amen. Once there is error in it, blind people will rush there. Anything that is shaking there, wind is shaking, they will say something there, they will run there. Tell me what they are speaking behind our canal here. The crowd are going there with an image of a woman at the altar. Crowd are going there. But where truth is spoken, amen, the mystery is deep. Sure, it is deep. Hallelujah. Where grace is abused, the author of the abuse of grace is the one that makes sure crowd will go there. And the Holy Ghost, who knows whose names are written in the book of life, he also called them elect. He will go and gather his own. Satan is gathering his own. The Holy Ghost is also gathering his own. If you meet these people who teach grace, I'm telling you, they will convince you that you will not go to hell if you live a life of fornication. If you lie, it is not you. It is your old man that is doing it. As long as you confess that the Lord Jesus is your Lord and personal Savior, you are saved. You are a new man. But there is an old man that will be disturbing you until you die, you go. And that the blood of Jesus Christ, that sin that you are committing, sleeping with somebody's wife, taking away people's husband, committing murder, smoking, drinking, lying, and all the riotous lifestyle, it is sin that Jesus Christ has paid for it. And so you will not pay for it again. He has paid for it. Why are you condemning yourself? You are the one. You are being sin conscious. That is why you are condemning yourself. It's because you don't know what happened on the cross on Calvary. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin. He has taken away the sin. He has paid. He has already paid. He has died for you. You cannot die again. So what is the result? Live anyhow life. No problem. No problem. No problem. Some years ago, a prophet in this church brought the book of one prince and then a master in grace. And they showed me, said, Daddy, see what this one is saying. This man is saying. I got this book and I've been reading it. This is, I say, and I call him, I say, what is Philippians chapter 2 verse 9? He said, I said, the book God gave us to read, you never read them. So how will you know this book you are reading? What will you use to judge what this book is reading? He's saying, you jump to read a book. So how will you know what is written there, whether it is correct or not, when the thing you are supposed to judge it by, you have not read it? Study to show thyself approved. If you don't read this Bible and know what the Bible is saying, how will you know when somebody is speaking contrary to the Bible? And Satan has done it in such a way that believers have no time to read the Bible. And this grievous wolf have put it in such a way that they are the ones that will tell you the meaning of this Bible. Why are you opening this Bible like Brahamites, we say? Why are you, what do you know this Bible without William Branham? Can you understand this Bible? They want to use one scripture to grieve the Holy Ghost. Because once you accept that nonsense teaching that presents the messages of William Branham above that of the apostles in the Bible, you are finished. You are finished. They will soon lead you to worship the man. They will soon, I have seen a preacher that said, now that God has sent a prophet, we don't need the Bible again. That is what they wanted to achieve. I heard it and I told him, you are a serpent seed. for you to ever speak like that, you are an antichrist. To choose what a man spoke above what the Holy Ghost has written for us. You are not blind, you are an antichrist. Any attempt to lift any man, to equate any man or above the Lord Jesus Christ, is an antichrist spirit. It is grieving the Holy Ghost. It is an abuse of grace. And the third example I want to give is the story of the prodigal son. In Luke chapter 15, let's read verse 11 to 13, just to catch what happened there.
And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after...
What did he say? Read it again.
Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.
So that means he is actually a child of God. He's the son of that man. It's a beautiful type. It's a story that is very instructive for us who are children of God. This boy is a product of grace. He's a product of grace. Because he was born into wealth. He did not struggle wherever he came from in the spirit world to come and enter and become the son of that family. If not, who? If it's possible, who will come be born for Nigeria? We don't know where we will go born. We don't know the family where we will go enter their womb. Now this of our head for Africa. So he is a product of grace. Unmerited favor. You inherited it. You were born into it. Oh, glory be to God. Go ahead.
Verse 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country.
And did what?
And there wasted...
He wasted the grace.
His substance with righteous living.
With lasciviousness. Yet, he was the son of the father. Do you think the father will be happy that he has gone like that? Certainly the father will be grieved. And there are many prodigal children of God today listening to me now, misusing and abusing grace. How? By the way, you use even your gifts. The gift we received, we didn't work for it. We didn't work for it. You were born again and you began to see an ability, see vision, cast out devil. Word of knowledge, you dream, it come to pass. But how do you use that grace? Including the grace that you have. You are wealthy today. You are wealthy today. It is God that giveth the power to make wealth. It's not by hard work. The day you beat your chest and say it is your hard work that has made you to be where you are today, then you are expecting God to answer you. And when God answers you, you will know that there are people that work harder than you. Harder. That promotion does not come from the east, nor from the west. Promotion comes from above. We are where we are today, not because of anything. The people in the world say it is by chance. Chance has brought you where you are. I call it grace has brought you where you are. It's not chance, it's grace. Unmerited favor. It is this knowledge that keeps the children of God humble, 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 humble. Do you know that beauty is grace? Beauty is grace. Because you did not create yourself. If you try to go to reduce the size of your body, of your stomach, or you go and pump something in your buttock so that you it will never be up to the natural one that God has given. It will be a matter of time. It will soon punch like bolombolo. And it will return to sender. No, it is grace. It's not by works. It is grace that the eagle flies higher than the chicken. You must not be proud. It's God that gave you the wings. He didn't give the chicken. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Anything you receive from God, use it to glorify God. Anything other than this, you are abusing that grace. You are abusing that grace. How can God give you wealth to acquire things on earth here that is bringing fire to destroy it? Won't you ask why he has given you what you own, what you have? What you own, what you have. You came to earth naked. There is nothing you own now that you did not receive. The Bible says so. I'm saying so because this is an assembly that is largely businessmen and women. And all of us here, I don't know anybody listening to me now that is an indigene of Isaleko. Everybody came from village. Even the Yoruba people, you came from Ogu or Oshu. Every one of us here, we came to Lagos for the betterment of our lives. Including you abroad online watching me. You ran away from Nigeria, from Africa, from your country to a better place. There is the tendency, therefore, to forget the God that given the power to make wealth and think that you will make effort. It's effort to make money. And after you get the money, you become proud. It is an abuse of grace. You forget God who gave you the money, who gave you the wealth. It's an abuse of grace. It is by grace. And that's why I'm not always comfortable with people who give testimonies how that they started very humbly with nothing, but today I have all these businesses all around the world, and then they now want to tell you how to prosper. You see, you must be hard work. So you they walk past the laborer where they carry cement for building site, Abby. You they walk past house help when they sleep from morning to night. You they walk past keke man from morning to night. Rain fall on him. Okada, rain fall on him. And yet, he cannot afford 10,000 naira at the end of the month because you are working harder than this. Instead of us to glorify God, we'll be glorifying an ability in us. Oh, Pastor Moses, you know, it's because you're a very good preacher. That's why your church is bigger than the other one. Nonsense. We know better than that. Praise the Lord. God gave you a gift, and you don't know the purpose why he gave you a gift. And all you do is food to eat. Or you use that gift, not for edification, but to scatter wicked people. There are gifted brothers and sisters that are anointed, but they use it and threaten God's children. I will curse you. I will curse you. Your life will turn upside down. You don't joke with me. Why is he boasting? Which power that God gave him? That is abuse of grace. It's abuse of grace. You get so proud, you are unteachable. You become a master instead of a servant. You are abusing grace. What of you? Like the one in Matthew, in Luke 19, where he was given one gift. Instead of using it, he went and kept it somewhere. He was not given to you. The gift that is given to you is not to come to church and shout hallelujah, praise God, and pay your tithe and offering and go. You are to use it to win souls, or use it for the edification of the body of Christ. To comfort to somebody. To exhort to somebody. If you don't use that gift, you took and somewhere, you are abusing the grace that has been given to you. It will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. And this include natural talents, like I stated earlier. The ability to use your leg and play football came from God. If there is any footballer watching me now, it's a talent. Carry ball, like JJ Okocha, he do like this, or you both fall down. He do like this, then stand up again. It's a talent. It's a talent. But instead of glorifying God, where you find yourself, see the nonsense they put on their heads. See the way they dress. See the tattoo they put in their bodies. They do everything against the God that gave them that talent. It is when that God steps small on the leg, you go see them, they are running to churches for prayer because they know that they will not use that leg again. They will not use that leg again. But before that leg had problem, you did not know God. There are some of us that pray to God only when things go bad. But when you are enjoying, you don't remember God. It is wrong. What of musicians? The ability to sing and produce songs come from God. But where are you choosing to use that talent? You won't sing unless they pay you. You are abusing grace. You are as guilty as a prophet that will charge you to see vision for you. Any grace that people have to pay for it before they enjoy it, it's an abuse of that grace that God gave you. They go and sing in nightclub. They will not sing in the choir, but they will produce songs and sell it. And even put royalty on it. Christians are having program. A musician to come, they will discuss how much you charge. To sing what? Sing salvation songs. See, what we mean by abuse of grace. God gave you ability to use a computer. You are using it for Yahoo Yahoo. You are using it for Yahoo Yahoo. I followed an investigation that investigated a scammer that scammed one old woman of $300,000. So some journalists that also have brain, you see, they are using their own to save people, protect people from scammers. Some are using their own to scam. And they follow it. I was listening to it. I doff my hat. And they are all Nigerians. I doff my cap. I say, it will take extra brain to achieve that. Even the person they scam was arguing with the journalist until they show evidence. Say, you are scammed. Don't send any money there again. A person was here in Nigeria scamming. And by the time they were able to hack into the scammer's account, the journalist, and they saw all the money, including bitcoins, including everything. By the time they were looking at, the man had already gotten cash in his account of $3 million. And they were saying, imagine how that person will be living in Nigeria. $3 million. Why are you not using that to spread the gospel? It's abuse of grace. For a child of God, you have opportunity to talk about the Lord using your Facebook account instead of projecting your Savior. All your Facebook account is if you go toilet, you show the world. It's time to sleep, you show the world. You buy new clothes, you show the world. You go vacation, you show the world. You buy new car, you show the world. You born new pikin, show the world. Your birthday, show the world. Nothing to glorify the God that has given you that blessing you are showing the world. You are abusing grace. It's abuse of grace. It's abuse of grace. How many people have you won out of the thousands of followers that you have? How many among them have you won to Christ? You are abusing grace. You are abusing grace. Somebody should repent. Why are you not creating content that will glorify God? Why are you not using your Facebook account, Instagram account, and all the social media account to talk about the God of your salvation? The talent to use those social media is given by God. I know what some of you can do with all the apps. You know, we see it. But all you do is to talk nonsense. TikTok. All this one. And then you are proud to say, because you want to follow us, they should follow you, not follow Christ. It's an abuse of grace. And I can tell you that God is not happy with it. There's a reason why people abuse grace. One of the reasons is that we take grace for granted. That is, we do not know the implication of doing so. We do not know the consequence of abuse of grace. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we see a perfect example there from verse 1. Let's take that reading, please.
Moreover, brethren,
listen very well.
I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink.
Are you see? Is that not grace? That's the story of Israel. Go ahead.
For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness.
See the effect?
Now these things were our examples.
They are there. This story, what God did with Israel, we are to learn lessons from there. It's for our example.
To the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted.
That is lascivious lifestyle.
Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things are put unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed.
Again.
Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall.
Again, you say bride and bride and bride. Say it again.
Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall.
Remember the hundreds of thousands, I think they even said 2 million. Some said 2 million that left Egypt for the promised land. But they took God for granted. We all know all the nonsense they were doing in the wilderness journey. In that generation that left Egypt, how many made the promised land? Two people. The rest perished in the wilderness because they took the grace of God for granted. Esau is another example. In Hebrew, chapter 12, verse 16 and verse 17. We know the story of Esau, but see the testimony that is written of him.
Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright.
For just one morsel of bread, taking grace for granted. Taking grace for granted because he did not work for it. He just came to earth. In his family, he's the firstborn, so he has the firstborn rights. So he didn't work for it now, so he does not know what it is.
Uh-huh. For ye know how that afterward, when you have inherited the blessing.
When it was time to inherit the blessing,
he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance.
Though
he sought it carefully
with tears.
With tears,
there was no place. That's why I say he would think he stand. Take heed lest he fall. He went further in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4.
For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened.
Hear it all.
And have tasted of the heavenly gifts,
uh-huh.
And were made partakers of the Holy Ghost,
uh-huh.
And have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come,
uh-huh.
If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance.
It is impossible to renew them again into repentance.
Seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame.
That is the warning. That's why I say he who thinks he stands, take heed. You have enjoyed all the reality of God. You know, you've seen angels, you've heard his voice. You call upon him, he saved you. You were sick, you call upon him, miracle healing took place. What else do you need to confirm to you the reality of this God? And you still turn back. It is an abuse of grace. You will never be restored again. You will never, never be restored again. And that's the truth. That's what happened to Lot's wife. Opportunity to escape. Grace found you to escape from a fire that is coming on Sodom. Don't look back. Is it a big commandment to keep? She looked back. That is an abuse of grace. It's an abuse of grace. Praise the Lord. When you abuse grace, like the prodigal son did, oh, hallelujah, you will suffer. Look, the man suffered. I repeat, the man suffered. The prodigal son suffered. He thought he can do it on his own. Hey! Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, they used to say some things. Some of those ministers that left here, after they came here, they received grace. Mighty healing, deliverance ministry, prophet, very relevant, this and that. So they now feel, what am I doing here? What they can do, I can do it too. And then they leave. Then suddenly, what they expected is not what they are seeing. You know what they were doing? They were saying that Pastor Moses usually attack ministers that live here. Attack you for what? Attack you for where? Amen. You know, I'm careful to say what I'm saying now, so that I will not be misunderstood. But when it happens, I just sit down and I laugh. Where God has kept you, you better stay there. If you want to confirm, leave and go. You will soon know that he will walk with Israel only when they are in their promised land. He will bless Israel only when they are in their promised land. So when it's time to bless them, he will gather them back to the promised land first before he will begin to bless them. Go and ask those who left here and what they went through and at what estate they came. I don't want to call names. I will have mentioned Prophet Benjamin, but I don't want to call names. I don't want to call names today and find out what he went through. And I told you something, that in a true church, if an elect of God, if the church excommunicates you, the purpose of excommunication is to make you realize what you have done is wrong. The evidence that you are of God is that you will suffer. If you begin to prosper, to go, forget those who left, to patch up. They are doing arranging prophecies and miracles. They know themselves that the grace is no more there. They know. Amen. Go and find out. I don't want to call names. I will have mentioned Sister Marachi also. But I don't want to call names today. Hallelujah. I don't want to call anybody's name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The prodigal son will suffer until he come back. People didn't know why, when that day of our, what did they call it, anniversary, and I say, I pardon everybody. The first person that jumped out was Prophet Benjamin. Okay, he know what he go through. He know what he go through. Now he jump. Hey, my freedom don't come. My freedom don't come. Praise the Lord. When Satan want to finish them, they'll be enticing them. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? What are you doing here? Satan want to finish them. Amen. Including evangelists, so. Including teachers, so. Including pastors, so. Including musicians, so. There's a place God has ordained for you. May you find where God has ordained for you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm looking at the reasons for the abuse of grace. Still talking about the fact that they take this grace for granted. That was what led the Philistines to be destroyed by Samson. And the whole world too, they are taking this process of salvation for granted. Jesus, 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 they are messing up. Comedians are using the name for comedy. People are using that name to dupe people. People are making caricature of that name. Don't worry. Unknown to them, grace has been offered unto the world, and they are taking it for granted. Because for 2,000 years, he has been saying he will soon come. The scoffers are saying, where is the promise of his coming? That is the attitude of people. But one of these days, you will notice, hallelujah, that you will pay for it. I'm talking of the whole world. I'm talking of the whole world. There is a day. There is a day. And we too, we will be judged. You take the grace of God for granted. One day, we too, we shall be judged. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. What did he say? From verse 9. Listen very well. Listen, all we servants, I'm talking of servants of God. All of us, servants of God. Pastor Olumide, 2 Samuel, 1 Samuel, Chinedu, all of you, prophets, all of you, listen, listen very well. Listen, listen very well. Including Abel, Damina, Apostle Suleiman, who again? Who again? All the trending Selma, the trending people, we are in the same box. We are preachers. We are pastors. We are overseers, including Omofofofo Toewe in Wari. All of you, Kumuyi, who again? Paul Rika, Amos, who again? Omobariowo, who again? Who again? Who?
Eneche.
I know, I didn't hear you.
Eneche.
Paul Eneche. Who again? Moses Alu. What did the Bible say?
For we are laborers together
all
with God.
All of us, we are laborers together with God.
Ye are God's husband.
You the church. church. You are God's husbandry.
Ye are God's building.
You are God's building that we are building.
According to the
Here
grace of
Apostle Paul. Here Apostle Paul.
According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon.
Okay.
For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, okay, which is Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble,
uh-huh,
every man's work shall be made manifest.
Uh-huh.
For the day shall declare it,
uh-huh,
because it shall be revealed by fire.
Uh-huh.
And the fire shall try every man's work of
what sort
it is.
So that you understand now why Apostle Paul said we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10. 2 Corinthians 5:10 also.
2 Corinthians 5:10.
Yes.
For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ.
Again.
For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ.
Uh-huh.
That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good
or bad. Read it again.
For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ,
uh-huh,
that everyone may receive the things
Everyone will receive
the things done in his body.
You will give account of the things that you did in whose body? Not your physical body. He's talking about the body of Christ. What did you do in the body of Christ? You will account for it. I will account for how I have related with you. I will account for what I have done with the church finances. I will account for what I preach. I will account for the motive for doing whatever I did. I will give account. Every one of us. Every one of us. All the names I called today, including the Pope of Rome. All of us. All. All the Jews, the mommy Jews. All of us. We shall give account. And what is going to be used to judge us? It's from here. This is the Urim and Thummim. Any voice you hear, including the voice Apostle Suleiman had that told him not to follow Paul, you will that voice will repeat on the day of the judgment. The voice, the spirit that is making Damina to talk all the nonsense he's talking as his own revelation for salvation, knocking off all the works of grace in the Bible. Okay, now. That day, that spirit will come back and give witness to you. But my faith has found a resting place. Not in device, no creed. I trust now ever living one. His wound for me shall be. Oh, I need no other. I give it. I need no other plea. I have two more reasons, then we close. The second reason why we abuse grace is lack of knowledge of what it cost the Father and the Son to save you. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. One of the knowledge that will make you abuse grace, I repeat, is the lack of knowledge of what it cost the Father and the Son to save you. He gave a foretaste of it in the story of Abraham. Abraham, take thy only son that they waited for how many years, and go and offer him to me for a burnt sacrifice. Kill him, put fire on him, and offer him to me. And you know what? It was not a one-day journey. How many days the journey?
3 days.
Three days. Why will he point a long distance? Why not in his backyard? Is to give him time to go through what he's supposed to go through. The only child I have, the only son I have. So I am ordained. I will not get child at all again. So I will not have child again. Hey. And he was going. Do you think it was easy? Do you think it was easy? Do you think what Jesus Christ went through on the cross on Calvary was easy? If it was easy, why will he be crying, Father, why have thou forsaken me? If it was easy, why was he crying, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass over me? Do you think it was easy? He was not a criminal. He was looking for me. It's a revelation. And all you know is to come to that cross and live anyhow life, and he's watching you as a result that you are a product of what he went through on the cross, grieving him like that. It is because you have not caught the revelation. People who catch the revelation produce songs of the cross that we sing today. We sing them, but we don't know that that song came from a revelation. He came from heaven to earth to show the way. Hey, from the cross, from the earth. Sing it for me now. I'm a musician.
From the cross.
Wait. You are abusing grace. I raise a song. You people refuse to sing. Are you not people that have the grace to sing? Can you do what I am doing? I'm preaching. Can I do what you are doing? Eh? He says, he paid the price, the debt he did not owe. That is a song for Jesus. I owe the debt I could not pay. I needed someone.
To wash my sins away.
That's a revelation.
I can see a brand new song, amazing grace. Lord Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay.
Which debt? It's not the debt that you owe Banco. It's not the debt. The soul that sinners shall die. For the wages of sin is what? Death. That is the debt we owe. Everyone was sentenced to die. We needed deliverance. He came down and died our debt. When you look at the cross, when you see him in agony there, it was for you he was doing it. How will you live anyhow life? How will you therefore now serve him grudgingly? I've been serving you since 10 years now. Nothing to show for it. If you have nothing to show for it, it means you are not yet saved. If you don't have Christ in you to show the whole world, it's true. You have nothing to show for it. But if what you mean is the cars, the houses, the children, the clothes you wear, it is an abuse of grace. Because that is not the purpose of the cross. If you catch it, you will say, where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Of that song says, I'll go with him through the garden. Which garden? Which garden? The garden of Gethsemane. Where he fear of what will happen to him. The fear produced sweat of blood that came out of him. Agony, anguish. If you catch it, you will love him. If you catch it, you will love him. You will gladly pick up your cross and follow him. You will gladly pick up your cross and follow him. Like the apostles did. As he suffered, they also suffer. It is appointed to us to suffer. It is ordained. For all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. We have other heroes of faith. If you read it in Hebrews chapter 11, see women. For this faith that we are joking with, people set up ministry because of tithe and offering. People died to preserve this faith that we have today. Women were sown asunder. Pregnant women, live, they will tear your stomach. Bring out the baby. Call other women. Will you denounce that Jesus? Or will you do the same thing? And they will tell you, what are you waiting for? And they will gladly submit themselves. They were fed to animals. John was put in a hot pot of oil. They cook him. Stephen was burnt with fire at the stake. Peter, think of who was it, was crucified upside down with the fire. Is it the same faith that we are following now? Is it the same faith? Then we shall go to the same heaven that these people went. God is not an unjust God. If you are not ready to pay the price because somebody is teaching you, the price has been paid. Hey! There is still the activity of the gates of hell. They will go after us to make you denounce your faith. You catch this revelation, you will not be ashamed of the gospel. It is particularly women. Women! You are afraid to dress like a Christian. You are ashamed, to dress like a Christian. You want to look like the world. You are not, proud to identify with the Savior of your soul. It has never occurred to you that prostitute dressing and nakeding herself on social media is in a different destination from you. So why will you follow her? When you dress the way you dress, is it portraying godliness? Amen. One of my sisters was telling me, in her office, they refer to her as Deeper Life Woman. And she's a lawyer. Why? Say, because she's not dressing like them. One of our sisters here was the head of the legal department of the NSDC in Lagos here. Civil defense. And when they seize people, all these adulterators and all this, she's the one that prosecutes them. And unknown to her, one of our members here, they seized the trailers. And I heard it from the member. They said the head of the legal, you can't go. They said a Deeper Life it should be. I thank God for Deeper Life Church. Clap for Deeper Life Church. Clap for Deeper Life Church. A church that has carved out a Christian identity in appearance and in character, because that is what they stand for. They may not have revelation for water baptism and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but the one they catch, they hold on to it very well. Holiness, without which you cannot see God. And I doff my cap for them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Until one day, during women program, I was introducing her. That was when they rushed. They came to me. So she's the one. It's our sister. Our sister, her testimony is you cannot bribe her. If you bring millions to her, it becomes exhibit against you. Until she resigned. What is your own testimony where you walk? Where is your own testimony where you do your business? What is your own testimony in your environment? What is your... And listen, if you dress like Dipa, or they call them Scripture Union, SU, you cover your head, you don't, your long skirt, you don't wear earrings, you don't wear any jewelry, all your shoe flatter than bathroom slippers. Oh, that is wonderful. But you leave a horrible character in your compound, in your environment, it is an abuse of grace. You are putting the name of the Lord to shame. You are putting the name of the Lord to shame. In your house today, people know they sleep. In your apartment, holy Jesus can say, holy, every time in the night, praises, prayer, praises, prayer. But in the compound, everybody there is your enemy. It's an abuse of grace. Because you are not living a life worthy of what you are professing. Praise the Lord. How can I be ashamed of the gospel of our salvation? It is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we will never forget, and nobody can preach it away from me, that it is also an emblem of suffering and shame. And I will go with him through the shame. I will identify with him openly. Openly. Our brother Cosmos will say that he wears his badge when he's going for business, so that before he comes, so that you know where he belongs. But there are some people here that will not take a stand for Christ, so that they will get what they are looking for. If they know I'm a Christian, they will not give me this business. So let me put the Bible aside till I get it. After all, I will pay my tithe. That's abuse of grace. Opportunity to shine the light because of the contract. You deny God. It's an abuse of grace. Finally, the reason why we abuse grace, praise the Lord, it's also another lack of knowledge that without God, we are nothing and we can do nothing. Find that out from the prodigal son. When he left his father, then he then knew that he has been what he is. It was because of his father. His source of glory was his father. His source of life was his father. He had a name, was his father. As soon as you disconnected, because he gave you one small grace, you abandon him, you will still know that without him, you can do nothing. I have had reason to tell you this before. Praise the Lord. Before I talk that of Apostle Paul, that there is a quote here that I read some time ago, where I said, if you take a fish out of the water, what will happen? That fish will die, because that is the natural environment for the fish to survive. And when you remove a tree from the ground, what will happen to that tree? The tree will die. Because once you uproot it from the natural environment, the source of life is gone. And God is our own natural environment. We are created in his presence, in his glory. Without him, we can do nothing. Because life does not exist outside of him. No peace, no joy outside of Christ for the children of God. Without him, we, the children of God, we can do nothing. And please, prodigal son, remember that water without the fish is still water, but the fish without water is nothing. The soil without the tree is still soil, but the tree without soil is nothing. God without man remains God, But man without God is nothing. That's why 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, what did Apostle Paul say? I love what he said.
But by the grace of God, I am what I am.
Again.
But by the grace of God, I am what I am.
Again.
But by the grace of God, I am what I am.
And what did he say?
And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain.
Was not in vain. He used it. What did he say?
But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me.
You see, brethren, we are who we are. It's by his grace. And so as I admonish us, like Apostle Paul spoke in Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, he said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What did he say?
God forbid.
He continued in that chapter 6. Shall we sin because we are not under the law? I also say, God forbid. I like the analogy in Romans chapter 7 concerning the old husband. You are bound by that husband, woman, as long as that man is alive. But when that man is dead, you are no more in bondage with that man. You are now free to marry a new husband. You were married to the old life you had before. You became dead with Christ to put on newness of life. That's why when a man says he is born again and is still living a worldly kind of life, especially the women and even the men, you are still married to your old husband. There was a spirit that you are married to that was making you act like that. Now you have a new spirit because the old man is dead. If a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Why are you still holding to a dead man? Why are you married to your dead husband? That's why you are still wearing his wedding ring. Identifying you with the old nature that you have. We have a new husband. We have a new spirit. We have to put off that old spirit. He advises us in Galatians chapter 5 verse 13, we should use not our liberty for an occasion to this flesh, but the joy of this our Father, though he was grieved when the prodigal son left, but he has always been waiting for him to come back. No matter how far you have gone in your sin, always remember, you are still his child. He's not happy. The greatest joy is when one sinner repents. That scripture is not talking to the unbelievers outside. When you go and win, how many people give their life to Christ? That he's happy when one sinner repents. He's talking of his children. He is happy when the prodigal son comes back. He's rejoicing. The whole heaven rejoices. I don't know the estate that you are in now. Always remember that where sin abound, grace did much more abound. I'm speaking now, blah, 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 blah. Some people are taking what I'm saying seriously. Some are, I have this last admonition in Proverbs chapter 19. Maybe let's take it. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 11. Proverbs chapter 21,
when this
verse
corner, 11.
Listen very well. Listen very well.
When this corner is punished,
eh?
When this corner is punished,
uh-huh.
The simple is made wise.
You see?
And when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge.
Again.
When this corner is punished, the simple is made wise. And when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge.
I'm giving knowledge to somebody. And if you have been suffering anything, grace has been withdrawn from you. You don't feel it. Your relationship with God, as you used to do before, it was punishment for you to repent. And I'm telling you, if you come back, he will come back. Prophet Benjamin, were you operating like this during when you were in Babylonian captivity?
There was no grace.
Eh?
I lost the grace.
You lost it?
Yes.
Until you came back here?
Of course.
So you were not operating like this when you left?
Never.
Never. At least we can learn from that. At least we can learn from that. And so repent and be reconciled to God before it is too late. And my prayer for everyone today is what Apostle Paul spoke in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. We say it here every day.
The grace of the Lord.
Now me, not be you, they talk. My prayer for you is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. It is a marvelous grace. It's a marvelous grace. It's a marvelous grace.
Infinite marvelous grace, free.